What's up, ghoul kids? Welcome back for a very long overdue episode of the Ghoulish Gallery, where your hosts, me, Tasha, Journey, and now Ripley has been added to our motley crew. Chat with folks from all over the world about their favorite spooks, monsters, cryptids, haunted places, and any other creepy things. A lot of things have changed since the last episode was released, so I just wanted to give you all a quick update. Bear with me. For returning listeners, you're awesome. I love you and welcome back. And for new listeners, you're also really awesome. Love you too. Glad you could join us. Last year was a really rough year for me personally. A lot of you are aware of that. And unfortunately, the podcast was a victim of all of that. So thankfully, things have settled down quite a bit. And now with the new year, we are back up and running. Just so happens that we are now back up and running as part of the You Run Podcast Network and YouRunPodcast.com. Anybody who knows Scott Harding knows how hard he works, and now he has really gone above and beyond to do what he can to spread the good word about things. So we will be advertising fellow podcasts and trying to connect folks with content that they would really enjoy that they might not otherwise know about. The podcast that we're advertising this go round is The Aardvark and the Magic Moshi Do Red Dwarf. They review every single episode of the show and they include their own segments. They have guests involved, and I will include their Instagram link in the episode description. You can also find all of their stuff at yourownpodcast.com, along with all of my stuff. So the Ghoulish Gallery's Twitter account is technically still active, but I don't post there anymore. I've got it linked to all the Sinister Scoop stuff, and I will also include all of those accounts in the episode description. So thanks for coming back, or thanks for joining us the first time around. Definitely go back and listen to old episodes. They're fun, crazy, and a mess. So thanks for bearing with me through all of that, and I hope you enjoy this Cryptid Palooza episode that we've got to kick off 2024. Welcome back, cool kids.
What's up, Ghoul Kids? Welcome back for a very long overdue episode of the Ghoulish Gallery. Originally, it was me and Journey, and now we have added Ripley to the mix. So I have another dog to edit out of this, where we chat with folks from all over the place about their favorite spooks, monsters, cryptids, all the good local things. This week, well, not even this week, like we are kicking off this year with a special episode. Hi, baby. With Lisa from Cryptid Comforts and all the amazing things that she makes. And she has been all over the place. I actually met her at my very first convention. I finally did it. So it has been wonderful getting to know Lisa. She's super talented. I have an entire box of her stuff sitting next to me at the computer. So thank you for coming on, and I'm super excited for
Thanks
this.
for having me. I did not realize that was your first convention ever.
My gosh, it was. I was so excited beforehand. I printed out like all these little pins and I got stickers and I was like, oh, this is gonna be
Yeah.
great. And then I got there and I kind of like panicked and was like, oh, do I just walk up and hand people things? Like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I was
You
just
did
like
great.
dazzled. I appreciate that.
I have your sticker on my box now that I roll around
Oh,
events.
yay.
So
Yeah, I was
cool.
I learned a lot just like in I ended up only going the first day. Just being there a couple hours, it was crazy. Like, first of all, I mean, just how super nice everybody is. Everybody was wonderful. Whitney too, her
Oh yeah.
art was just, oh my
She's
gosh,
amazing. I love that
just
girl so much.
so
For those
fun.
of you who don't know, we're talking about Whitney Yaudon. Check her out.
Yes.
Her work is phenomenal. She does needle felting and painting. I actually commissioned a painting from her that weekend for my dad for his birthday of his cats.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, my gosh, I wish that I had had more money set aside to prepare for everything that I was going to want.
Yeah, that's the
Because
hard
I was
part.
just, it's so terrible. I will just walk through wanting like 10 of everything that everybody had. And I'm trying to think, from the last episode I had. I don't know if I had officially converted over to the Sinister Scoop yet. It was still just, it started out as like my personal blog and then grew. Yeah, there's been so many things that have changed, but we're trying really hard to promote like all the indie people that we can, especially with art, because there's so many times like I sit here and I'm like, oh man, I would love to have like a horror this. And I'm like, oh, that's so, like such a niche thing. Like nobody's gonna make that, but there are people out there that do. So
Exactly. I mean,
the
if you can think of it, someone's making it. And
yeah, absolutely.
if
So
they
if
aren't,
there's
then make it yourself.
yes, that is awesome too. Like it's, I think it's easy to get intimidated by, nobody's gonna want this. Like, no, somebody out there is gonna want it. Like if you're
I
looking for
find
it,
I go
there's
the opposite way where I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a hot seller. Everyone's going to want this. And then the product flops. And I'm like,
oh
oh.
no. Ugh, that is a tragedy because I
Yeah.
mean this the Kickstarter, anybody that's listening that follows the scoop at this point, if you're not, go do it. But I was sharing the crap out of a Kickstarter. It was what, like a month and a half ago now? Or 2 months?
Yeah, it
Something like
wrapped
that.
in no, I think I started it in October, so it wrapped in November and everything shipped out in December.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Which most people don't do their Kickstarter the way I did, where most people, wait for the Kickstarter funding to come in before they order their product. I
Yeah.
didn't do that. So I ordered the product and then fingers crossed that I got the Kickstarter backing to help me pay for it. And luckily it did. So that was great. But I was prepared to fully fund it myself otherwise.
Well, I'm glad you didn't have to because I mean the toys are just adorable. And I
Thank
had ordered some of the additional mystery packages, which I will share that post again when this comes out with like just the coolest goodie. I was so excited. I was on the phone with one of my friends when I was opening this bag and I was like squealing every time I pulled more stuff out because I was like, oh God,
Oh
this
yeah,
is
man.
so
My
cute.
mystery bags are probably like the best value in cryptids you're ever going to get. If you're into all cryptids and just want something random and weird, like my mystery bags have like 10 items in it for $25. So it's a steal. And they all include one plushie and then a random assortment because I want to make so many different products all the time. And with working with Cryptic Crate, I really have the opportunity now to do more of that. And so I'm just constantly coming up with new products. And if they aren't hot sellers, they might go in the mystery bag. If I get bored with them, they might get go in the mystery bag. Or I just have like a bunch of my enamel pins that I'm like, I'm not going to do enamel pins anymore. So I'm purging them. It was go in the mystery bag, keychains, stickers, whatever.
Yeah, it was definitely a win on my end, and I'm super glad I did because I mean, I'm obsessed with stickers, so I've got all the stickers that you sent and the koozie, the drink koozie that was in there, like just the most random awesome things that I didn't know I needed in my life until I opened that bag and I was like, oh, this is it. This is absolutely it. So you well, I guess yeah, we discussed all this beforehand. I probably should have started recording sooner. We have actually kind of followed similar geographic paths, both originally from upstate New York, both spent time in Tennessee, and have both spent time out on the West Coast. I unfortunately did not at the time bother to research any of the cryptids or fun things that could have been out there. And this will be a little bit of a diversion from a normal episode since we usually just do like local, either where people are living now or where they grew up.
Yeah.
This one, I mean, you
I've
travel
lived so
all
many
over.
places and I travel everywhere and I'm moving again in April.
Ugh.
But West Coast is where I started down my cryptid field when I was living in Oregon. And so, I mean, I definitely love my favorite like cryptid to actually look for was Colossal Claude because, My friend Lisa lived in a house on the Columbia River, and I would cat sit for her cat Larry, and I would hang out, and they'd be gone because they had another house in Montana, so they were gone a lot. And so I would hang out at their house with Larry and just sit out on the back deck overlooking the Columbia River, watching for Colossal Claude.
Well, that is one that I have not heard of. So,
Yeah,
what?
he's a just, basic river monster type creature. There have been several sightings of him. I can't remember all the specifics now, but like one group of fishermen who were out there, I believe, fishing for salmon, and the salmon was pretty sparse that year, caught him. Like he had chewed a hole through their net and was stealing from their fishing boat. And it seemed like the sightings of him happened mostly when fish were a little more scarce. So I think that's when he would have to, go up to people and approach the boats and steal their swag because he wasn't getting his own very easily. So,
Yeah,
and then
desperate.
years later, there was, I can't remember now what they called. There was another sighting a long time later, by some BP oil guys, I believe it was. And but they gave him a different name at that time because they thought it was probably an offspring of it. And I can't remember what that name was now. Huh.
So it's basically like, are the Do they kind of estimate that he looked something like Loch Ness Monster, just on a
Yeah.
smaller scale?
Yeah,
Since
I
he's
mean,
never.
just big river monster out there swimming along, stealing fish.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Exactly.
I wouldn't want to have to get near people either. But also, it's like work smarter, not harder. So if they're catching the fish for you and all you have to do is cut a hole in the net, I mean, you got it made.
Right. So you gotta do what you gotta do when you're hungry.
That's right. I was super excited. One of them, and it was actually in my mystery bag too. The Fresno Nightcrawler is one. Every time I saw it at a booth, I like lost my mind because it's such a. I had never even heard of it until somebody else brought it up on the show one time, and I had to look it up. And it's such a weird combination of like the cutest, but also like really unsettling.
Mean,
I
just
just.
because it's a security camera video, and it's like how strange, like, because you don't really understand what you're looking at. That doesn't seem human. It doesn't seem normal. And for those of you who don't know, look up Fresno Nightwalker right now. Watch the video and then come back and listen to the rest of this. But yeah,
Yes.
there's like the security camera footage that just seems so bizarre. I'm like,
It's so strange. Like your brain is trying to make sense of it and
yeah. It's
put a
not
body
scary.
there.
It's just walking along, not doing anything weird, just taking a walk. But it's just like, huh, what? Like you try to rationalize, you try to, make sense of it. And there are just some things that you can't make sense of.
Oh, absolutely. That is the absolute truth. And obviously, in the Pacific Northwest, that seems to be Bigfoot's homeland.
Yeah,
What
well,
are.
Bigfoot sightings have been everywhere. I mean, there's always some Bigfoot type creature. I believe it's been on every single continent except Antarctica. There have been sightings.
Yeti and
Oh,
all those good
all
things.
over, the US. We have regional ones in some place. Like in Ohio, they have the Ohio Grassman. In Florida, it's the Skunk Ape. You have the Wild Man in Kentucky, Tennessee. So there's, I mean, regional ones all over. Folk Monster in Arkansas, Big Muddy in Illinois. So everyone has kind of their own version of the Bigfoot. The Pacific Northwest does not own Bigfoot. He just,
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of woods out there, so it makes sense that there would be sightings. It's a heavily, forested area, and that's why I love the Pacific Northwest. I really kind of miss those drives from Portland out to the coast because you're just driving through the forest and It's always so beautiful. I really miss the nature in Oregon and Washington more than anything.
It's on my to-do list. I've actually been to 39, either 38 or 39 states at this point.
Oh,
And
wow.
two of them that I'm missing are Oregon and Washington.
Which is crazy
So,
since you lived in California. It's
I
a hop,
know.
skip,
I was able to take one road trip when I lived out there because I got out there and I was like, this is gonna be great. I'm gonna be able to do all these things like Yosemite and everything else. And then I realized how expensive it is living in California.
fair.
And I didn't do anything.
Yeah, that's where my boyfriend's in California right now, actually. That's where he grew up, was in Southern California.
Yeah, that's where I was. And I mean, it was beautiful. The weather was amazing. But yeah, the one road trip I took, we went up PCH and we were able to make it up to Fort Bragg, just north of San Francisco, because there's a beach up there that I wanted to go to. And then with time constraints, we had to turn around and head back so that I could get back to work. So we were
Yeah.
so close, so close.
That
So I was like, oh man, I guess it just means I'm gonna have to make another trip out there. Darn.
Yeah.
So
I
it
love
is,
the Pacific Northwest.
they're big on my list because I mean everything that I've seen is just beautiful out there. I don't know if I could handle the rain.
It doesn't rain as much as people say it does.
No, that's good news because I man,
No.
I would I moved when I moved from Southern California to Tennessee that winter, we set like a record for a number of days of rain straight. And after being in so much sunshine and coming here to like weeks straight of rain, it was
Oh,
the
yeah.
most depressing thing.
I
I
will say,
didn't.
in the Pacific Northwest, you have it's overcast pretty much all winter, with scarce sunshine sightings. But as far as the rain, it mists and then it'll stop. And you only get a few heavy rains a year. It's not as bad as everyone says it is.
Yeah, that's definitely got that reputation of like downpour all the time.
No, it's not like that.
Do you consume documentaries in the fashion that I do?
If I'm doing documentaries, that's usually true crime. That's kind of my favorite documentary style is true crime and cults.
Love those so much. There's one on Discovery Plus that I watched that was about the Alaskan killer Bigfoot that was a lot of fun to watch.
That a Small Town Monsters production?
I don't remember who was responsible for that one. I'd
So I
have to
know they
look
were out in
into.
Alaska at one point, I think last year. I don't remember.
Yeah, I did not realize that they have this whole like Alaskan triangle
Oh,
thing
yeah.
going on up there. So that was a new thing for me. But I was
That's
actually
somewhere I'd like to visit, is Alaska. I've never been.
yes, that is on my list too. I mean, it'd be fun to take a cruise up there, but I would
They
like to
do the
actually
Bigfoot Alaskan cruise.
they
So there's
specifically have a Bigfoot.
a Bigfoot Alaska cruise.
What? Oh, oh, this is that's getting written down. I'll look that up
Yeah, look
later.
that up.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, that's great. So my next question, so there's obviously lots of theories as to Bigfoot and his origins and everything else. Do you have any specific theory that works for you in particular
No,
in terms of
I try not to theorize too much about it. Honestly, like I'm one of those. I'm a hopeful skeptic is how I classify myself. Like I love cryptids and I love this idea that these things could exist. I find it to be fun and awesome, and I don't really feel the need to prove anyone's existence because honestly, it's just I love the unknown. I think it's more fun that way. And I think the world's a little brighter when you take, into account maybe these things could be out there. Like, it just makes me happier thinking that, these things could be out there. Whether I believe they're there or not, doesn't matter. And so I don't tend to really theorize on it or focus on, is this real? I just enjoy the unknown of it.
That's one of those things, like every time you see some article where it's like, oh, hey, we found an animal that we thought was extinct like 2 centuries ago. It's like, obviously things like that have managed to stay under the radar. So it doesn't seem that far-fetched that there's other
No, and I
things
mean,
that.
a lot of animals that are current well-known animals, people once considered to be cryptids. I mean, obviously the duck-billed platypus, because that is the most ridiculous animal in the world. And this is what I always tell people. I'm like, if the duck-billed platypus can exist, anything can. Because
Yes.
that animal, it makes no sense
It
in any
doesn't.
way. I mean, it's an egg-laying mammal beaver duck that's poisonous? What? What? Like, no, of course people didn't think that was real when they first saw it. No way.
Obviously, Australia is where, like, who knows what else is in Australia?
My God, yeah. I talk about are there, that many cryptids in Australia? And I'm like, Australia doesn't eat cryptids because they have crazy animals all on their own. I mean, spiders big enough to eat people. So, no.
Reality is already a hot
But
mess
they
over
do
there,
have
so.
the cutest animals out there, like the quokka, which we don't get here. And those guys are adorable.
Yes.
Little tiny furry guys who are always smiling. Like, who doesn't want that? Like,
I
that sounds
know.
awesome.
They have
But
like
yeah.
the cutest, fuzziest things that are combined with like the creepiest, crawliest things that are all trying to kill you while you're there. It's like there's no happy medium down there.
Exactly. No, Australia sounds both adorable and terrifying all at once. Never been, but I'd like to. I have a friend who lives out there.
I had a cousin that packed up and took off. I don't even know how long he's been down there now. Everything sounds amazing. And
Yeah.
then I watch a nature documentary and I'm like, ooh, do I dare?
I mean, New
Could I?
Zealand too has amazing animals that you can't find anywhere else, like the cockapoo, like a flightless parrot that just hops around with big chubby cheeks. I'm like, I love that.
With all
Yeah.
the
So yeah, there's a lot of weird animals that are real, and so for people to say, these strange things couldn't possibly exist, I'm like, think about the things that do, though.
check an
You never know.
encyclopedia sometime. Like, it's already in there.
I mean, panda bears, who everyone loves, those were once considered cryptids.
And that's not really surprising. I mean, they look like a giant stuffed animal. Like they just
Yeah.
roll around, minding their own business, eating bamboo.
Okapis were cryptids. There's all sorts of real, live, proven animals, and especially like water animals. Let's get into, I mean, how vast the ocean is.
Oh my
And
God.
there
Yes.
are so many things that could be under there that people just do not know. And so I am more inclined to believe that, water cryptids are real because, I mean, who knows what's down there?
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, they could constantly be on the move. How, just because you've checked an area once doesn't mean they're not there after you leave. And
Right?
it's not like, the forest where it's easier to leave a trace. It's constantly moving. Yeah. Water, that's one of those things that is back and forth between super enjoyable but also terrifying. So.
Right.
Like the Meg, I have a deep down love for the Meg, and I'm like, who's to say that something like that is that far-fetched? Like we could have that whole layer down there. How much can people, there's spots that we can't even like physically access.
Right.
So
Well,
I
and I mean,
mean.
there's that creature, the Julia and the Bloop, that are just these sounds that people have speculated are creatures, possibly. Others think it's like, melting icebergs or something making a noise. There's several theories, but I have a customer of mine who originally like reached out to me to make a bloop for her nephew. It was her nephew. And so I did that last year. And this year she reached out to me to make a Julia. So I made a couple Julia stuffies this year. And I mean, it's massive. But
I have not heard of either of those either.
yeah, they're just strange sounds that are coming from the ocean.
God. Yeah, that opens like a whole new door for horror stories. It's like that's like the curse and the blessing of writing horror is everything is inspiration for a story.
Oh,
And
gosh.
the downside to that is that your brain turns everything into a story, whether you want it to or not.
Right.
So I had actually posted a while back. I went outside at night and came around the corner of the house, and the door to the crawl space under the house was open. And it was like pitch black outside. The latch was gone
Oh,
off the
God.
door. And I was like, this is where I die. Like I wore flip-flops because I'm stupid. I can't run away in flip-flops. I've seen so many movies. How was I not better prepared for this? This is ridiculous. So yeah, just the whole time my brain was just like trying to figure out how many different ways I could die and what might be under there. And
For real. No, I still like staying in Airbnbs now, after seeing Barbarian.
oh,
Totally freaking out.
yes. Yes, I just stayed in one actually kind of like halfway between here and Nashville last weekend. And as I was like flipping the code to get the key out of the lockbox, I was like, oh goodness. I
Would that
mean,
be
I wouldn't
around
come.
the
Yeah. Yep. And I was like, I wouldn't object to Bill Skarsgård being on the other side of this door, but at the same time, I don't know that that would bode well. Even though he wasn't, well, spoilers, if you haven't seen it by now, shame on you. Even though he wasn't the bad guy, so yeah, it's funny how those things just kind of like live in your head rent free forever. One that I or a convention that I actually just learned about through you, actually, is the Frogman. I am so excited. Anybody who's been listening
Awesome.
regularly, I had my episode, I think it was like the third episode that I did with Kat Valour, and she's from Ohio, so that was one of the things we talked about was the Frogman, and it just blew my mind.
Yeah, the
So
frogman is such a fun one.
I am so
I love
excited.
the frogman story. And I mean, that original sighting is just too fun. But then, a cop claiming to have shot him and that it was an iguana. And it's all ridiculous and I love it. But yeah, I just I'm whipping up some new merch for the Frogman Festival. I'm gonna do
I want
these
all of
great
it.
straw tumblers with Frogman on it that I'm selling pretty cheap. I'll have, of course, my Frogman plushies, both versions. Yeah, so lots of fun froggy stuff coming.
Oh, that'll be great. She and I actually both were playing around on Canva the other night, and we were like, let's look for frog and magic wands and stuff we could come up with for like a little logo for good old Frogman. I love the idea that he's out there somewhere waving around his wand and just
I mean, there's only been one of the sightings that mentions a wand, but yeah, that's how you got to depict the frogman. So my smaller frogman stuffies have him with a wand. My larger ones, he wears a t-shirt that says, I saw the Loveland frogman, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Love
So
it.
I have two different versions of the frogman
Oh, that's amazing.
plushie
I'm hoping if everything works out that I might be able to make it up for that one. And hopefully I would be able to drag Kat along with me because she loves the Frogman too. So that would be a good chance to get out and just celebrate that cute little Frogman. And you've also been to Mothman, right?
Oh yeah, I've been vending at Mothman since 2019. I mean, obviously minus 2020 and 2021 when it didn't happen because of stupid COVID, which I currently have.
Freaking
But
COVID.
I know, right?
Ruined everything.
I have gone this long without getting COVID, and that's what I got for Christmas this year. So here we are.
That is definitely impressive because it's, God, I mean,
Going
it's
to
hard
all
to
the
believe that it's been
conventions,
4 years.
traveling all over the country, you know, staying in crappy hotels. No, I probably picked it up at the grocery store. Yay. But it's nice that it happened when I'm not on tour, when I'm not, you know, doing events. I do have one event coming up in a couple weeks, but I'll be clear by then. So, you know.
That's good. It's crazy. Like everybody seems like they've been getting sick and not like normal sick, but just hardcore sick this
Yeah.
season.
Last year I got RSV, which I thought I was going to die. I
Oh
was
man.
in bed for pretty much 3 weeks straight, just like I would
Oops.
cough so hard that I would start hyperventilating. Like it was real, real bad. So COVID was better than that.
Oh, that's good at least. Silver linings. But it is good that you didn't end up with, I can't imagine like being out on the road and then surprise.
I know, especially since a lot of times on my tour, I stay with family and my parents who are both immune compromised. So I'm always very careful, like when I'm staying with them, like making sure I take COVID tests with me on the road, test for it regularly. And, you know, the last thing I would want to do is, you know, subject my mother or my father to this. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a bummer that it happened around the holidays, but I guess if it was gonna happen, at least it's when you're home and
It's the perfect time for it to happen. I've got nothing going on. I was planning on, you know, taking the week off of sewing to focus on kind of getting my space organized, which so my space isn't organized. That's fine. But I'm back to sewing today. So I'm on squonk making all week long. Squonk, squonk, squonk.
Squonk. And that one is in August, right?
August, Squonkapalooza, August 10th. It is an event that I not only will be a vendor at, but I'm one of the hosts of.
Oh, that's
So,
amazing.
yeah, it's the only event that I host. And it is me and Joe of Cryptoteology. He and I work real hard on putting together an awesome event for Squonkapalooza. And I mean, it was our first year last year, and it turned out phenomenal, like better than we could have possibly anticipated. So many people came out. The community really rallied behind us there locally in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And it was a really impressive event. Like I was in that you know, run, 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 busy, busy all day kind of feeling, but pure euphoria too, to be like, oh my God, I made this happen. Like, that is so cool. Like, and I mean, you know, the lead up to it when you're, you know, doing an event for the first time and you don't know if anyone's going to show up and you have all these worries and it's so stressful. And so, of course, all of that is it's going to happen again this year in the lead up. But Joe and I were both kind of like broken, like a couple of days before the event happened. We're like, oh my God, if this doesn't turn out good, we're just done. Like, we had actually already decided before the first year that this was going to be a one and done. We weren't going to do it again. And then it was
That's
so
so funny.
successful. I felt like we both kind of knew at the end of the day that we were going to do it again.
Yeah, that's I know Damian Casey was there. He is an avid lover of the squonk.
Yes.
I think
And he's
he
good friends with Joe, and he's awesome. And yeah, we love
I
to.
yes, Damian is wonderful. And the squonk, I mean, if anybody deserves a good, successful good successful festival. It's the poor little squonk.
He deserves it. You're absolutely right. So for those who aren't familiar with the squonk is it's not technically a cryptid, but the lines get very blurred these days. It is a folklore creature from old school lumberjack folklore. First mentioned in a book that came out in 1910 called Fearsome Creatures of the Lumberwoods. And it is said to be a creature from Pennsylvania that it's, you know, just kind of a wrinkly little blobby guy, and he's got some serious self-esteem issues, and he cries all the time because he's so ugly. And yeah, so his skin doesn't fit, he's got warts, and he feels super insecure. And basically, he's also, I feel, the most relatable of all these creatures, because who hasn't
Thinking.
felt a little squonky at times? He tries to, avoid people. He avoids, water because he doesn't want to see his own reflection. Poor guy. So he lives in the Hemlock Forest in Pennsylvania. And when I first heard about the squonk, I fell in love with this guy. And I was so inspired by him that I'm not a writer. I had never really thought about writing a book. And I was like, I want to write a children's book about the squonk and throw in some body positivity for him and some self-esteem stuff. And so I came up with the book title called Why So Sad, Squonk. And when I first, started writing it, it ended up being a different book than I had originally kind of envisioned. But I worked probably harder on this book than I've worked on anything in my entire life. Me and my friend Brandy, she's a professional songwriter. She helped me, make it flow nice and helped with the words and everything. And so she and I would, brainstorm ideas. And so she's my co-author on the book. And I mean, it's a pretty simple story of a squonk and a dog man. I chose dog man as the secondary character because, dog man is regionally makes sense. There were dog man sightings in that Pennsylvania area. And also because dog man is thought of as vicious and ferocious. And so that was important to my book to have him be the hero. So he's dog man hears squonk crying in the forest and goes to find out what's going on and try to cheer him up and shows him kindness and compassion. And so that's what it's really all about. It's all about kindness, compassion, and friendship through squonk and dog.
Oh. Yeah, I feel
Yeah.
like the squonk is less cryptid and like all of our internal anxieties. Like
Absolutely.
just in physical form. He's just everybody's anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard not to love the little guy.
So throwing a festival surrounding the saddest creature in the world, it's a little but we found ways to make it fun, and we kept telling everyone we're trying to cheer up the squonk, and that's why we're throwing a festival for him, is to elevate it, the squonk. And the squonk, there's the video. If you go to my Instagram, it's pinned to my top of a video of the squonk hula hooping. So
Oh,
Squonk
that's
had a
fantastic.
lot of fun.
Good. That poor little guy deserves it.
Right?
That's amazing. Yeah, that's another one that I have on my list that the problem is like now that I've been to one, I just want to go to all of them and
Absolutely.
having
And
to
you
like
start off at
plan.
kind of a smaller first year one that, wasn't really known. So once
Yeah.
you get to some of these bigger ones like Squonkapalooza and Mothman, I mean, not that
Oh, yeah.
Squonkapalooza is nearly the level of Mothman, but
It'll
Mothman is the
get
biggest
there.
event in cryptid world all over. Like
Oh,
over
absolutely.
20,000 people come out to Point Pleasant, West Virginia that weekend. It's crazy bananas.
I want to see everything. I want to buy everything while I'm there. And it's brutal. But yeah, Squonk, definitely. Just because I don't know what it is. If it's just because you can't help but feel sorry for the poor guy, like you
He's a
said, relate
charming
to
little
him,
pig.
but you just want to like squeeze him. Maybe not squeeze
Absolutely.
him with the warts, but carefully, carefully squeeze him. So what, as far as you know, what other conventions will be coming up? Like spring and summer wise.
Let's see. So on my list to do so far, I'm starting off with Frogman for my tour, and then I have to take some time off because I'm moving. So then I'll be back in May. I'm doing Hodag, probably. I haven't officially signed on for that yet. I've done it the last 2 years though. So the Hodag Heritage Festival in May up in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, which talk about a town that loves their creature. Oh my God. Rhinelander is covered in Hodags, literally Hodags everywhere. They're on the police cars, on the ambulances. There's, I
Shut
mean, it's the Hodag store. But on all the street corners, you see Hodags everywhere in Rhinelander. It's their school mascot. Like, they love the Hodag.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, I always love going to Rhinelander. It's just a beautiful place, too.
Oh.
Great place to visit. I highly recommend it. So that one's in May, and then I've got another in May in Pennsylvania. That's I believe it's called Legends and Lore. So that's in Somerset, Pennsylvania, which is really close to Johnstown. So pretty excited about, working with them. And then I haven't done that one before, so we'll see. I'm not sure how that'll go. I'm doing an event in Nashville, actually, in June, World Oddities Expo. So it's, I think, their first year in Nashville, so I'm gonna hit that one.
That sounds amazing.
But that's like a touring one. And then I'm going to do the Wytheville UFO Festival for the third year in Wytheville, Virginia. That one's awesome. And let's see. Of course, Mothman, Skunkapalooza. Trying to think of what other ones I'm doing. I know there's more. Yeah, can't remember some of the other ones at this point.
Well, I'll
Well,
definitely be the ones that I'm not at, I'll definitely be keeping up to see how
yeah.
your adventures go, because that just, oh, I'm so jealous.
Switch
Oh, there
down.
was one that was in my mystery bag that I had not heard of.
Okay.
The Van Meter, was that?
Then visitor. That's another
Yes.
event that I've done the last couple of years. I'll probably do again this year. That is in Van Meter, Iowa. So yeah, the Van Meter visitor is an interesting one. It was seen for like a 3 day span, and people chased it into a mine. But at the event, you can do these walking history tours with Chad Lewis, who's amazing. If you're not familiar with him, he's an author. And he does all kinds of cool stuff. But yeah, Van Meter's one of his big ones. So yeah, it's really cool.
So is it supposed to be like something similar to Mothman, or like what are descriptions of
Yeah,
what it
this
looked
would
like?
be, I would classify it more as kind of a dinosaur looking. What's the flying dinosaur?
Oh, the pterodactyl.
Yes, that's the word. It kind of looks like that, but it's got a like flashlight on its forehead, and so it has a bright light that shines. Yeah, it's an interesting one.
As a new homeowner, I will say a headlamp is the handiest thing that I have ever bought in my entire life. So I can see where that would be handy. So
Yeah.
they chased it into a mine and like trapped it,
Yeah.
and it just like.
Yeah. As far as they know it, as far as I know, I mean, it's been a while since I've done the reading on the Van Meter. But as far as I know, it never came back up out of the mine after those 3 days. So
Yeah, I
3 days,
saw
lots of
that.
sightings around town, and yeah.
And then they got out the torches and pitchforks and away
Yeah,
they went.
chasing an old abandoned mine.
Yeah, I think that was, whoop, I'm throwing stuff now. That was the one in particular. I pulled that. That was actually the koozie I got. I pulled that out of my mystery bag and I was like, oh, this. I definitely got the pterodactyl vibes. It was one that I had not heard of before. So I'm trying to talk to somebody from every state and get their whole local take on all the monsters and everything, but I haven't really done much Midwestern. So I definitely still need to get up into
Byron was the one who introduced me to the Van Meter Visitor. I mean, I'd loosely heard of it before him, but he does a podcast called The Bigfoot Society, and he was actually the first podcaster to ever interview me. But he loves Van Meter because he lives in Des Moines, so he's very big into the Van Meter Visitor.
Awesome. I'll have to give that one a listen too, because I'm as if I don't. It's like your TBR for the readers out there for it. It never ends. And for some reason, I just keep adding to it, even though I'm never going to get caught up on what I already listened to. So I just, it's a punishment that is just amazing because you just can't stop. There's just so many good things out there that you just want to listen to
Absolutely.
all of them. All of them. And then the Hodag, for anybody that's not familiar with that one, what is the rundown on the school mascot?
Okay, so it's hard to give a small rundown on it, but so the
Go for
Hodag is also another fearsome creature of the lumber woods from lumberjack lore. But basically, there was a man named Gene Shepherd, and he worked in a lot of different fields around the area. But he's out in the woods, and comes back, and he's like, oh my God, I just saw a hodag out there. And everyone's like, what's that? And so then, long story short, he takes a crew out to capture this hodag. And they throw some dynamite at it and blow it up. But it doesn't blow up, it just chars him a little. And so they capture him. They kill him, capture him. He's a little charred, but they put him on display and start bringing in some tourists and all of this. So tourism starts to revive the town, which was in desperate need of something because they were running out of resources and things like that at the time. And so for a while, it stirred up some intrigue. And once intrigue started kind of dying out again, wouldn't you know it, Gene would go out and see another one. But this time, they decided they had to capture it live. And so Gary and Ben tell this way better than I do. But so then they took bear wrestlers. Don't know why, but they hired bear wrestlers to go capture this hodag. But how they captured it was put chloroform on the end of a long stick and knocked it out. So they capture the hodag and they take it back. They start going to all the state fairs and stuff, and having this hodag on display for people. Pay a nickel, you get to see this hodag. So people would come in, and there's this, creature in a cage behind a thin white sheet, and it's, writhing about and growling. And Gene's like, wow, he's really feisty today. Hang on, let me see. And, it would start roaring, shaking about, and the cage would start. You'd be like, all right, that's probably as close as you guys should get to it, and move along. So thousands of people left thinking they'd seen a live hodag. So much so that the Smithsonian got wind of this creature. And the Smithsonian was like, we want to come research this. Can we, come out there, and we want to, study this? And that's when Gene admitted it was all a hoax. And
Shock.
it was a contraption he had built, levers, pulleys, his kids making growling noises. Like, it was quite a production and an impressive one that fooled so many people. And normally, when people find out they've been duped, they get mad about it. They're like, oh, that's not cool. But you know what? In Jean's position, they were like, dude, good for you. That's awesome. Thank you so much for bringing in the tourism and revitalizing our town. And now we have money and resources. And without Jean Shepherd, Rhinelander probably would have died.
Oh, wow.
But now it is a thriving town, and all because of this hoedag. So we gotta love Jean Shepherd. And I mean, how brilliant. And the hoedag is very much still celebrated.
Yeah, which is also impressive because usually, in a case like that where somebody's like, yeah, sorry, just kidding, it would kind of like die at that point,
Nope.
beyond the story itself. So it's cool
Right.
that, even knowing that, I mean, maybe he struck a deal with one out there and was like, hey, I'm gonna imitate you and, we're gonna do
I
this.
mean, there are still people who wholeheartedly believe that hoedags are out there in those woods. So,
That's fantastic.
yeah.
Good for the town. That is a smart business on his part.
I appreciate those towns that really embrace their creatures. Like,
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, Point Pleasant for the most part does. They have the Mothman statue, the Mothman Museum, and I mean, a lot of that is, Jeff out there doing things and creating that, but and some of the business owners don't like Mothman and don't like the Mothman Festival and really hate it when we come to town. But most people know this is when they make their money and they
Yeah.
embrace it. So, Flatwoods, West Virginia, also they have lots of Flatwoods monster stuff around. And so there are some towns that really, really embrace it and others that don't acknowledge it at all. Like I was Loveland, Ohio, back to Frogman,
Yeah.
gorgeous little town, beautiful, nothing Frogman anywhere in town, which is kind of sad. Like, I would really like to open up a Frogman museum there or,
Oh my gosh,
a
yeah.
Frogman store, do something because they are such a great town. It's beautiful there.
Yeah.
So I wish they would embrace, but now that the Frogman Festival is moving to Loveland, maybe that's soon coming. We
Yeah,
shall see
something will
if
pop
that
up.
will happen. Grafton, West Virginia has one little Grafton monster cutout that you have to walk down an alley to find. So they try, but they just like they don't know. Nobody knows. Like a lot of these little towns just don't embrace the weirdness. And if they did, I think that'd be better. But also a lot of cryptids aren't relegated to one town. They're, and
The
I mean there's
general
big
one.
stores and everything all over the place.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a more popular, well-known.
Yeah, I actually just found out there's I don't know if you're familiar with Townsend, Tennessee. It's not too far from Pigeon Forge and everything out there.
Know of it, but
They actually had a Bigfoot festival in May, and I
oh,
found
that's why I know of
this.
that's why I know of Townsend.
I was
I
so mad.
know of them.
I was leaving the next day for Florida and I just didn't have time to go up there. And I lived like 20 minutes from there at the time. And I was
Oh,
like,
no.
hey. So I need to, even like little local ones. Like, there's so many things. I mean, how much better of a place would the world be if everybody just embraced a little more weirdness and just had fun with it?
Exactly.
Like, it'd be amazing. And especially the little towns like that, like just the income. And I mean, Tennessee is a huge tourism state in general, but
Right.
there's a little, yeah, oh God, yeah. But then I guess too, there's, the local mindset that's like, oh, we don't want all these tourists like bombing through here and
Right.
messing things up and getting all in here.
Yeah, but you know what? Without the tourism, what do you have? Like,
Yeah.
exactly. Tourists bring the money, and
Yep.
that is how businesses thrive. You
Yeah.
can't run a business in a small town without something.
No. No, especially not today's age. That's the depressing part.
Yeah.
Everything just
If my budget was a little bit bigger, all of the conventions I would go to, they would all be on my list.
I
Every
mean,
single.
I can only go to all of them because I sell at all of them. And,
Yeah.
I don't go to events just to go to events. I go to events for my
Yeah,
clients.
as a vendor.
So that's how I can afford to do it. Oh, CryptidCon. Can't believe I didn't mention that one because that one just happened in November. I guess because it's so far off my radar for next year because, November. But CryptidCon is another really big one, and that's in Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh yeah, I saw a post for that one. That was another one where I was like, in the grand scheme of things, it's really not that far away.
It's really not.
So yeah, I'm trying to update because we keep track of like movie festivals and stuff like that through the calendar for the Scoop. So I'm trying to add in like the cryptid festivals and stuff like that, just to try to
I can
have
help you
like
with
a
that.
centralized location to find all these things because
Yeah, a lot of us have tried to do that over the years to put together all the cryptid events and have it easily accessible, and
yeah.
it's quite an undertaking, and I mean, no one's able to do quite a complete thorough list. We do have a group on Facebook of Cryptid Vendors USA, I believe is what it's called, run by the Seymours.
Oh, awesome.
So that's a good source for finding those events, but it's pretty much, people in the community just know to post their event there. And they update the calendar. We started doing one with Cryptid Crate, but I don't know. I contributed a bunch of events to it and then just kind of got busy doing other
Yeah.
things and didn't update it. And so I don't know. I don't even know if Mike ever posted that on the website or anything. But we're trying. Everyone's trying to compile them, but new ones keep popping up all the time.
Yeah, that is definitely the struggle. And it's a shame like that it's so hard to get that done because I can't tell you how many times I find out like the Townsend one where I'm like, if I had known in advance and could have like
Oh,
coordinated, man, I would have been all over this. And
there
then
was
I feel
another
like
cryptid one that happened in a town where my aunt and uncle live in Tennessee. And I didn't find out about it until too late. And I was like, oh man, I'm going to be back in Colorado at that point or Washington,
yeah.
wherever I was at the time. But
Yeah, I feel like that happens every day. Like, man, if I had only known. And then by the time, of course, it rolls around next year, it's gone at that point because so much has
right.
happened. You don't
Yeah.
think about it. And so,
Right.
I'm definitely keeping an eye out for as
I
many
mean,
of them.
I constantly am on the lookout, especially, cryptid events, but I also enjoy doing horror events and oddities events and things like that. So I'm always looking for things that pop up. And now I'm going to be moving east. So that'll be kind of nice because most of the events are east. Like I had a couple of Bigfoot events in Washington and Oregon, but nothing compared to what I do out east. And
Yeah.
so living on the east side will be definitely beneficial. At first, we thought we were going to move to West Virginia or Pennsylvania. So, which obviously would put me very central to a lot of
Oh, yeah.
important cryptids. But yeah, when we were looking at mainly Morgantown, West Virginia, I was like, oh, well, that'll be super convenient for Squonkapalooza. And it's also, close to all my wholesale, well, not all, but several of my wholesale clients in Morgantown there. And then, near events in West Virginia. But now we're moving to Illinois, which I'm actually really excited about because one of my best friends lives there. So.
Oh, cool. My best friend actually lives near Chicago, so
Oh, okay.
it's
Yeah, she
I
lives in Urbana, so that's the area we're looking at is the Champaign-Urbana area and surrounding.
Nice.
So
That'll
I'm
still
going
put you
out
in.
in February to do house shopping.
Oh, man. That'll be it's such a fun but also like a dreaded process. That was one of the big events. I mean, it's only January 1st, so I feel like it's okay to make that slip and be like this year. But yeah, that was one of the big things that I had to do this past year was get somewhere new situated. And oh my gosh, it's just
Yeah, and buying a house in a state where you don't live is another, fun. So I'm taking my dad with me because Joshua can't come with me because one of us has to, take care of the dog because he's very needy and doesn't he's not he's antisocial. He can't be around other dogs or people.
No.
He's very old and set in his ways. So we have to pretty much stay home with him and take care of him. Well, that's why we never travel together anymore. But yeah, so I'm gonna take my dad with me to look at houses because at least he knows what he's doing. He's bought many houses in his life, so
That'll be good. The
yeah.
things we do for our pups.
Oh,
Love them to death. Man, Journey, thankfully, since I got Ripley, he's never been one that's really been great with other dogs. He's okay with smaller dogs. If they get too close to his size, I don't know if it's just threatening. But he was going to a day camp actually once in a while with the at the training facility that he goes to. And they were like, oh my gosh, he loves it. Like it's weird because he only likes to play with little dogs and he kind of intimidates a lot of them, but he
right.
loves to be out there with them. So
Scooby can't even handle little dogs. Little dogs scare him. I mean, he's a great big thing.
fair.
He's 120 pounds of, sheer anxiety. He was abused, though. I think I told you. Did I tell you his history? I did.
I don't remember. It
We
was
talk about
pretty
it a
sad
lot.
a little bit.
We got him when he was 6 years old from a shelter in Walla Walla, Washington, and he was covered in scars when we got him, and both of his ears had scabs on them from where somebody tried to cut his ears off.
Oh my God.
He was emaciated. He weighed 76 pounds at that point. They had filed down his teeth. They did all kinds of horrible things to my dog, and if I ever found out who did
Who it
that to
was. Oh God.
I
Let me
mean,
know.
yeah. So when he was found on the streets, he was, just in rough shape. Basically, it seemed like somebody tried to pin his ears, but didn't know what they were doing and just like tapped at him. And when they couldn't cut his ears off, just threw him away. But it seemed like he had been used as a bait dog in dog fighting and like bad things happened to him. So when we first got him, though, we would socialize him and things were going well. I mean, he didn't seem to dislike people. He couldn't be around other dogs, but he didn't seem to dislike people. So we were like, okay, he can handle dogs through fences, but if a dog is not behind a fence, he's not okay with it. And so his anxiety got worse. With COVID, because we had gotten him in November of 2019 and things went well for a while. And then COVID, we became, shut-ins. He wasn't socializing anymore because neither were we. And so, and I think it made him weird. And now he can't be around people. So he used to at least be able to deal with people and now he can't deal with people.
Bless his
So,
heart. After all that, he deserves some peace and quiet.
right. And now, he's 10 and he's getting up there. And I mean, the life expectancy of a Great Dane, I
Shorter.
don't want to stay in front of him because he is in the other room napping. But he's got that German Shepherd in him too, which helps. My sister actually had a Great Dane and she just lost her this year or last year. Last year. Same age as Scoob, so
Yeah, Journey's only 3. He'll be 4 in August, but I already like just the thought of it, I'm like, oh God, it's gonna be horrible when it happens. But
yeah.
he's
But we make sure
my baby.
Scooby is the most spoiled dog. Actually,
Absolutely.
I've seen some on the internet that are more spoiled than him. I've watched these dog videos with this one dog named Teddy who gets Teddy Tuesdays, and that is the most spoiled dog I've ever seen. My dog's pretty spoiled, though.
As they should be. We don't get them long
He's
enough,
really,
so.
we really want the second half of his life to be whatever he wants it to be and be good, because the first half of his life is horrible.
Gosh.
And anyone who can do that to an animal has a special place in hell.
That's becoming one of my, I mean, we always had dogs growing up, but now that I've actually got my own as an adult, when it comes to like movies and even reading, that is becoming a hard limit for me, is like anything that I, you know, I can read about people getting murdered, watch all
Right?
the, because I love
That
true
doesn't
crime
bother me.
documentaries too. Yeah, I will watch these things all day long. But man, you mess with a dog, like John Wick, that movie, like I've
Yeah.
had such a hard time with that movie because of the first 10 minutes.
Yep,
Like I just,
then he avenges his dog.
oh God, it just, oh, it killed me. So yeah, that's one of those things that, oof, it just gets me. And Ripley, I mean, she's so sweet. She's a little velociraptor, but she's such a sweet. So they love each other. He gets annoyed sometimes, but you know, they still cuddle up when they go to sleep. So I'm like,
Yeah.
you're so
Well,
cute.
Scooby's best friend is a cat, so he loves
Oh.
cats. So he has his cat Highway, who's his little baby. Highway's
No.
like 2 years old now, and him and Scooby are best friends.
That's awesome. I always
Yeah.
love like when you see videos and pictures of like cross species friendships. That's just like the cutest, most wholesome
Our
thing in the entire world.
older cat hates them both, but Highway and Scooby are besties, so.
That's awesome. Oh my goodness. All right, so where are the best places for people to find you and everything that you do, which I will also link
In
all of
my
these
living room.
things.
No, don't come to my living room. Just kidding. No. Instagram probably at cryptid underscore comforts is you can find all my links from there, and that's my main social media account. I post mostly there. And also I run the Instagram for Splunkapalooza, so at Splunkapalooza. I also run the Instagram for Cryptid Crate, so at Cryptid Crate. Yeah, oh, and yeah, I don't think I really mentioned it, that I'm one of the curators for Cryptid Crate. So most of I work with artists to get, their work in the crate frequently, both the junior crate and the regular crate. The junior crate is how I started with them. We partnered on that a couple of years ago, and then I kind of took over some of the curating responsibilities for the regular crate as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's, I cannot say enough like how much I love everything. Like my alien, my Mothman, the Fresno Nightcrawler, all the stickers. Like it
Thank you. Yeah,
the gift that kept on giving every time I pulled
that
something out of the It's like, man, I wish I had like six more of these just to open up because I'm so excited. So once I'm still in the process of like getting my whole office like situated and set up for my horror space. So I'm looking forward to figuring out how I'm gonna get all my stuff displayed. And that's been like the most exciting part of all this is like having a designated horror room.
Oh man, I can't wait to own my house again because I haven't been able to put up all my cryptid art and
Oh.
stuff. So I only have like a small amount of my stuff out right now. Once I have my own place,
They'll be everywhere.
great again. Like my room at my house in Washington was the walls were completely covered in cryptid art from awesome cryptid artists I know. And so I'm looking forward to getting all that stuff back out, and I've also acquired a lot more in the last 2 years since then, so gotta get that
Oh,
right.
it's such a wonderful addiction to have, though.
It's gonna take me, months to finish decorating. I found this
Oh.
house online that I'm looking at that has a separate studio like behind the house.
Oh,
I'm like,
snap.
that would be ideal.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, right now we're just Zillowing every day looking at houses online to kind of get a feel for what's available there. And there's quite a few great houses that I'm really excited about that we can afford.
Oh, good. Hopefully the right one will. I know that process is such a mess. So
I
hopefully
mean,
you guys will have it.
that's the main reason we don't want to be in Colorado is we can't afford to live here. It's ridiculous. And now my boyfriend, he works with birds. He works for a company called West, where basically he's a field coordinator. So he gets teams together to go do surveys and, birds and sometimes pygmy rabbits and bats and things like that.
That's
But
awesome.
mostly he works with as an avian field biologist. So,
Oh, that's so cool.
yeah, he likes to say
Oh,
that he works with real animals and I work with fake ones.
that
Yeah,
sounds about right. That sounds
he
exactly like it
discounts
would be.
everything I do and he makes fun of my profession all the time.
He just
He's
needs to
also very
embrace
supportive, he
it.
just doesn't believe any of it.
Yeah. You know what? That means he's going to be the one to stumble across one of these cryptids one day, and then he's going to be like, holy shit.
I hope so.
Oh,
I
that'd
hope he
be.
gets tripped by a Bigfoot out in the forest.
Serves you right.
Exactly.
Tell me I don't exist. How'd that feel?
Yeah.
Oh. That's awesome. Well, I very much appreciate you taking the time to chat with me. It was super nice to see you again. I'm like I said, I'm still like all ooh and on over my first convention. So to meet so many nice people while I was there was absolutely wonderful. So
Well, we're definitely going to have to get you out to a bigger one next time.
yes, all of them, all of them.
And one where parking isn't so chaotic.
Oh yeah, that was. That was a whole different, and they're going to a
Yeah,
different.
they failed a little on the parking situation. I mean, it was a first year event. They're learning. They're doing it in a
Yeah.
different location this year. So,
Yes,
and
I
I mean, the
know.
lineup looks cool. It looks like it's going to be a big deal. So, might be better this year. I'm not going to do it this year, though.
Yeah.
But I still had fun last year. And I mean, getting to see Ryan Hurst in person really made my life.
Right.
He's so
It
beautiful.
was just dazzling being there for everything. I am a little disappointed that they moved it further away. I was excited to have one that was close,
Yeah, but I
but
think the location was not great and the parking
no.
was awful, especially, when local businesses are towing people's cars.
Hey, really? I didn't
Oh,
hear
yeah,
about
no,
that.
the restaurant right behind there, people were parking there and they started towing them.
Oh my gosh.
There just wasn't adequate parking, so
Ugh,
pardon.
that's crazy. Yeah, I did not hear about that.
Oh, yeah.
Boy. Well, we'll definitely be in touch with all of these things. And like I
Yeah.
said, I'm gonna link all those things into the episode so that people can find them because they obviously need all of these things in their life too.
They do.
They
They really
might not
do.
know it, but
And
they
there's
do.
constantly new stuff coming. So
That's
I'm
so
always making
exciting.
more.
That's amazing. It's just cool to have. Like I said, if you do another Kickstarter, definitely give me a shout because I'll be glad to plaster it everywhere. So
Awesome. I mean, I may in the future kind of see where the Mothman dog toys go. And if they go well, next up, Fresno Nightwalker. I mean, then
yes.
go crazy and get a Squonk. I really like this company that I'm working with the dog toys. I mean, there was the mistake of them sending the wrong size, but they made it right. And now I have even more dog toys. So I've already ordered something else from them that's coming this month. Bigfoot catnip toys, which I
Oh, that's
always
awesome.
handmade all my own catnip toys. So, but I got, some wholesale clients who get those. So I thought mass producing, it's going to save me a lot of frustration and time. And
Yeah.
yeah, so I'm working with them on that right now. And those will be ready soon. And yeah, who knows what the future will hold with me starting to outsource things as I get too busy to make everything by hand.
That is awesome. That is a
It's a good
good kind of
problem to have.
busy. Yeah, absolutely. Best kind
I
of
mean,
busy to be.
I started doing this when I had five other jobs, and this was just kind of a side hobby, and now it's my only job, and it's hard to keep up. So I'm feeling really good about it.
That is absolutely the dream right there.
It
That
is.
is
It is
1,000% the dream.
1,000% the dream.
Oh, fantastic. Well, yeah, I will definitely talk to you soon. I'm gonna get these monsters outside before they
Yeah.
throw a fit. But yeah, like I said, thank you again for educating me because I learned a lot today. There were all the questions I had. So
I'm always happy to share.
awesome. I very much appreciate you, and I will talk to you soon.
All right, have a good day.
You too.